Praise the Lord. We're going to continue our lesson from last week, and hopefully we'll finish it. Amen?
Amen.
So when Pastor Jeff comes back, we'll have to start a new topic. Praise the Lord. All things new, lesson 10. And we're going to be reading from Revelation chapter 21. Starting at verse 1. Revelation 21. All things new. Okay, Revelation chapter 21, let's read it. Let's read the scripture. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for his word. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come to you once again tonight, O God, just desiring, O God, to learn of you, O God, to learn of your word, O Father God. Have your way in this place, O God. Teach us, O God, what you would have us to learn tonight, O God. We're seeking wisdom from on high today, O God. So fill us, O God, because you said you would freely give it to us if we ask, O God. So, Father, we ask tonight, O God. Father, we just thank you, O God, that your spirit rests, rules, and abides in this place with us, O God. And, Father God, that you shall share your heart with us tonight. We just thank you, O God, for bringing us here once again, O God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. This Pastor Jeff is away. We're filling in for him. Amen?
Amen.
And I'm saying we because it's we, right?
Yes.
It's
yes.
We. It's all of us.
Yes.
Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Good to know that you are not alone. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anyway, so our lesson was all things new. And I'm just going to summarize somewhat of where we left last week. But before I do that, as I was reading the scripture, God is interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because on Sunday, you know, Pastor Jeff wanted me to do reflection, and I was going to talk about something, remember? And
yeah.
I said, I'm not going to do that because God was leading me someplace else.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm reading this scripture, and in verse number 5, that's what I was going to share from on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, it said, He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. Now, this has somewhat to do with the lesson, and somewhat not, I don't know, but God is leading me to share it, so I'm going to share it.
Yeah.
But the key, he says, write, for these words are true and faithful. And what just jumped off at me is, you know, I like to write. And sometimes when God shares with us, we need to write down what he's saying. And the reason why we do that is because God speaks, and he speaks promises. He's speaking his word. His word is his promise. And we write it down, and just like he says, for these words are true and faithful. And he wants us to write because when he brings it to pass, he wants us to know that those words were true and faithful. That whatever he spoke to you at any given time, and you took the time to write it down, he's going to bring it past. You know, the Bible says, write the vision, make it plain. And he's going to bring it to pass. So when I, you know, as was getting ready to start this lesson, and this words just jumped off the page at me again, because this is what I was going to talk about on Sunday. But it's just something for us to hold on. Just a little nugget to hold on to now. You know, so taking notes. Mm-hmm. Right, as we teach each other, taking notes, write. If you hear God speak something, write it down. You know, it's a good way to remember what God has done. Because a lot of times we go through things and we overcome them because we remember what God has spoken. But a lot of that is because we wrote it down. You know, when we have our private time with him, we write in our journals. And you see the things. You write your prayers down and God brings in the past. So I just wanted to point that out. Write it down. Write, he said. And he's telling us in Revelation 21, write, for these words are true and faithful. So what he's speaking, he's going to bring to pass. So there's going to be a time when everything is going to be made new. And that's what we were talking about last week. Okay. Just to sum up, like, questions 1 through basically 5, but that's, I think we left off at 5. Correct me if I'm wrong. But Pastor Jeff was talking about the images that we would see, you know, in this new city, you know, as the scripture says. And how we would feel behind that. I think one of the things you said were awestruck. I think I wrote that down too. Mm-hmm. That we'd just be like in awe of all the majesty, you know, the things that's happening. Just imagine, you see, John Revelation, he's talking about seeing the bride of Christ coming, you know, just imagine that picture, get that picture in your head, just envision that, you know, it's a new city, the bride of Christ, you know, we're coming to Christ, we're being married to him, and it's going to be final, no divorce or nothing, you know, so that's a good thing. So just get the images in your head. But anyway, okay. So we were talking about the images, and then he was talking about how the first heaven and the first earth that we live in now, that's going to pass away, that God's going to make everything new. There's going to be a new city, you know, new, I guess, new buildings, new, but we're talking about the ground, right? New ground that's going to be gold, streets paved with gold, this and that. Get all those things in your head. It's something to be excited about. It just, yes. Praise the Lord. Yes, but in Revelation chapter 20, I want us to look at that. Because we're talking about things passing away. And I just want to see exactly what God was talking about, because chapter 21 starts off with end. So he's continuing from chapter 20. And I want to start at verse number 11. And it says, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So what chapter 20 is doing is talking about those things that are old. Because then it continues in chapter 21, and I saw a new heaven. So after all these things, people getting, you know, judged and being cast into, you know, hell, and death was conquered, all these things, after all those things happened, John said, and I saw a new heaven. So that's where we picked up with all things are new. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Okay. All right. Question 4 said, the voice from the throne declares that God's dwelling place is now among the people, and we talked about how it would be different from the way we experience God's presence now, and that is because now we'll be able to see him, and I'm saying now, it's in, because we're in Revelation 21, okay, not like now, we're just with heaven, but right now we're in Revelation 21, amen. And life, what will life be like in this place? No more tears, no more death, no sickness, no pain, no sorrow. Just imagine, no more. Just say no more.
No more.
No more foolishness.
Nothing.
Nothing.
No
Amen.
More bills.
No more. No more bills.
No more work.
Praise the Lord. No more taxes.
No more taxes. No more work.
Well, Christine, I think we're going to be working, though.
But not that type of...
But we're not going to be toiling. That's for sure.
Yes.
No more sweat. Praise the Lord. Anyway, so we're going to pick up at question number 6. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Perhaps the most striking promise is that death itself will be no more. That's verse 4. How does the work of Jesus Christ, the Lamb who sits on the throne in Revelation, ensure that this promise will be fulfilled? And that's a question. Any answers?
Well, it says in, we just read it in chapter 20, it says that death will be cast into the lake of fire. So that's assured right there that death will be no more.
Amen. Right, and that ensures that the promises will be fulfilled because Jesus conquered death.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus fulfilled the scripture, just like he said. You know, he rose, he got up on that third day, and he conquered death. You know, he didn't stay in the grave.
Amen.
Amen. So the word is just confirming itself. Okay,
yes.
You know, that's how it's going. The scripture is going to be fulfilled. The former things all passed away. And I found in Revelation chapter 7, I have your turning today. Revelation chapter 7. And God's word is good.
Mm-hmm.
And God's word is true.
Mm-hmm.
And wherever you read one thing in the Bible, you can find it someplace else. Because God speaks, just like he said, right. You know, because these words are faithful and true. So if you find it in one place, you're going to find it in another place where God has already spoken it. So when I was looking up Jesus and his fulfillment of the promise in the scriptures with, you know, no more, Revelation chapter 7, let's start at verse number 9. It says, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb.
Wow.
Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. And isn't that what God said in Revelation chapter 21? They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Amen. So there it is. Scripture fulfilled. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Jesus.
Former things passed away. Amen. I just like that. God should wipe away all tears from their eyes. Amen. That scripture itself is in like five places. God shall wipe. I should have wrote it down. But look it up. It's in like five places. God shall wipe every tear. So God is making a promise.
Mm-hmm.
Those tears you cry now, those tears are going to be gone. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's good news to me. Amen. Okay. Question 7. What is included in everything that will be made new? Verse 5 of chapter 21. So we're talking about all these no more, right? There should be no night there, there need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. So, what is included in everything that will be made new, besides those things that, like we said, no more tears, no more pain? What are the kind of things that you think is included in everything?
No more sin.
Oh, praise the Lord. I didn't even have that on my list. And that's the most important one.
Yeah, that's the most important
one. No more sin.
Oh, my
that's right.
Oh, God, praise the Lord.
No
Jesus.
More sin, because God's going to be dwelling with us. So that foolishness, you know.
No more.
No more. So no more sin, only righteousness. Okay.
Righteousness.
No more sorrow.
Is it no more sin because we are new? You know, we are new. We have new bodies. We are made new. You know, it says our heirs say our glorified bodies.
Yes.
So that will be part of the new and part of new living. We have we say we cannot comprehend everything about God. Now, but once after, for those, then we will comprehend, so much more about them. So our minds will be renewed.
Yeah.
And then we say, oh, okay, now I get it. We will say, I remember living on here, but I didn't get it, but now I do now. So our minds will be new, will be full of wisdom.
Yes.
That's part of the new everything as well.
Jesus.
That's what the scripture said. I don't know where it is. Bible scholar, y'all help me out. Scripture says that we know in part, but then we shall know him as he is. Where is it?
I don't know what you're talking about.
You were saying that.
Yeah.
So that's what it means, So, okay, Lord, where is it? I know in part. Is it First Corinthians? Yes. Okay, somebody got to find that for me so we know where it is, okay? We know him in part, but there's going to come a day where we're going to know him as he is. And I'm believing that it's Corinthians, but I don't know where. Praise the Lord.
And that's another thing. say this is why people might say, why we have forgiveness, but Satan don't. Mm-hmm. The reason why, because Satan knew God, you know, Satan knew who God fully was, but yet he rejected the Lord. And here we are, we don't know everything about God, but yet we, you know, God said, that's why it's our choice. We bring ourselves to him, and that's why there is forgiveness for us. Satan knew everything about God, who he is, and everything in the fullness, but he rejected God because he wanted to be God. That's why God threw him out. There's no forgiveness for Satan. That's why Satan is mad, because he will not be forgiven. But yet we who know God only partially, you know, and God give us, showing us grace, and then, you know, he give us forgiveness, and that's why Satan hates us.
That's so true, because you're right. Satan, he already had his chance.
Exactly.
He was with God.
We took his spot.
That's right.
We took his spot.
He got kicked out. God said, get out of here with that foolishness. God kicked him out. The scripture, it's the part where it says, when I was a man, I thought, when I was a child, I thought as a child, but when I, okay. Still, Bible scholars?
We don't fight. I did as a child. Now as a man, I act as a man. I put away the childish thing.
Yes, where is it, Mario? We know the scripture. Where is it? Okay, Lord, you got to help us.
It's not this one here. I can't wait.
1 Corinthians 13:11, sorry.
13:9.
Oh, she found it.
No, 13. But I'm not sure.
Yes, that's it.
We will know in part, and we will prophesy in part. Mm-hmm. Is it that one?
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes, that's it. That's it. That's exactly right. So that's chapter 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and that's a chapter on love. That's a new love chapter.
You was right. You said Corinthians.
Yes, Corinthians. But the verse I was talking about, verse 9, for we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away, which is what Brother James was saying. Those things, you know, those things that we used to know, those things ain't going to mean anything anymore. We know some of what God is and who he is, but we're going to know all of who he is
exactly. When
we get there. Yeah. Amen? So all that other, the part is going to be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Amen? But now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. And we're going to see God face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. So just like we know each other here, sitting here, that's how we're going to know God. Mm-hmm. That's great. That's a good thing. Mm-hmm. Amen. Praise the Lord. So imagine just going and fellowshipping with God. You know, I mean, we do now in our prayer closets and things like that. But to actually, like, when you go see a friend, you know, when you go to somebody's house, when you go to have dinner with them, it's just different. You can see their face, you can see their expressions, you know, and we can see all these things about God by faith, you know, but God's going to change that.
Yeah.
We're going to be able to see him as he is, to see what Jesus actually looks like.
Amen.
All these years, you're praising and worshiping him.
Yes.
And he can just, oh, God. You are the one I praise all these years.
Oh my God! Yes.
It reminds me of the joke that Jeff said this past Sunday. He said, "Someone say, look around, say, say, well, so where is Jesus?" Say, "That's Jesus right there." They say, "That's not him." He said, he prayed that it never happened.
Oh, Lord. Yes. But we're going to know what
he
looks
know.
Like.
Yeah, we will know who
instead
he is.
Instead of these pictures that, you know, the world tried to tell us what Jesus looks like. Nobody knows what he looks like. You know,
Jesus
we can
will be on the throne. He will be on the throne shining. There will be angels always worshiping. You know,
yes.
There will be the four beasts. And we say, imagine that. Imagine like four creatures. You know, with a head 90%. Facing here, there, you know, it's going to be strange, but then it's glorified, and you know that everything, like, on this new earth, You know, we said we could, you know, pet a lion. As Jeff said, he want to pet a lion.
Yes.
You know, as Chris, I told Christine, well, it'll be no more seas, but I said, I want to swim as a shark and everything. but the Bible says there will be no more seas.
Yeah,
there will be no more ocean. There will be no more seas. So
that's what's interesting to me, though, because, you know, the Bible does say all these things, and, you know, God is true, and he's going to make everything new. So
brand new.
The sea. The sea, no more sea. The sea sometimes is beautiful. The blue one, the green ones, anyway. Not the one, you know, Orchard Beach. I ain't talking about that in the Bronx. No, I'm talking about somewhere in the foreign country. That's what I'm talking about. Where the sea is like, okay, but this man, there's no more sea. Maybe God's gonna make that a new form, though.
Yeah.
You know, because. I guess even with animals. You think animals would be... Yeah, because God said the lion and the lamb be next to each other.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do with the fish? They need a... Well, I guess in heaven, you don't really need to worry about being in the sea. They probably be walking on the
ground.
Right? Just think about these things. This is interesting to me. God is just interesting. Anyway, okay. So we found our scripture.
Yeah.
1 Corinthians 13, 9 through... 12. I'm writing that down. Okay. Write it down. Okay. Praise the Lord. Question 8. What gift is promised to those who are thirsty? Verse number 6. Yes, Christine, what
did you say? Eternal life.
Eternal life. Yes. Yes. You'll be able to drink of the fountain of the water of life freely. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's the gift.
That's something.
Yes.
Is it?
Yes. When I thought about the fountain of water, does that remind you of anything in the scripture? Remember, I said the word confirms itself.
Genesis.
What was it like?
Genesis, third chapter. When the Yakin got the brother.
Yes, they would turn. That's right. I didn't even think of that one. But yes, that is one place. Okay, place else. The fountain of water of life.
The fountains of living water, as Jesus said. Yes. He said, if you can't come to me, he said, and you were thirsty, I would give you.
If you would drink water that I'm giving you. And he went to the women at the well with that. You know, that's John chapter 4. He went to the woman at the well and he said, you drink this, because she asked for water and she thought he was talking naturally, and then he's talking, no, but you drink of the water that I'm going to give you. You don't need to be thirsty again. And that's the word, confirming yourself again. That's the gift that's promised.
I said, where's that shop right now?
Okay.
Sorry.
It's okay. No, but Jesus promised. He said, you never be thirsty again. You drink up this water. And he's saying it again. So that's to give this promise to us who are thirsty. Amen.
The tree of life, the fountain of life, exactly.
Yes. John chapter 7. Let's go there. I'll show you this one too.
John 7?
Yes, John chapter 7. Woman at the well is John 4:14, just so y'all know. John chapter 7, because we're talking about the water, fountain of water. John chapter 7, verse.
Chapter 7.
Chapter 7, verse 37 says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So that's the gift. That God is giving us here in Revelation, John chapter 4, Deuteronomy 18, I think. The living water. God promises that we who are thirsty, we will thirst no more. There's one more place, though. Unless you know where it is, right? It talks about the fountains of living water. And he who is thirsty. Oh, man. Okay, you're going to find that one for me. I think it's Matthew, but I'm not sure. But I'm going to move on. Question 9. What do you thirst for? And this is more like a personal question, but if anybody wants to share anything that they feel they thirst for, like me right now, I'm thirsting for a refreshing in my spirit, a refreshing of faith, a renewal. I'm sort of thirsting for that from God, you know?
Thirsting more of Him. Just want more and more, you know, just want to refresh. But it's a refreshing spirit, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You need that too, refreshing. Oh, can I steal my answer, Christine?
Yes.
So warm, you have to take a little bit of it.
Praise the Lord.
Hey, Thursday. Well, let's say for me, just peace.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of times I think we long for peace, you know, because there's so much chaos in this world. There's so many crazy things happening. I mean, the minute you see things, you know, peace. You know, that's just sort of what comes to you. You know, like when I see, what do you call those, hearse go by a funeral, you know, automatically, I just start praying for peace and comfort. You know, that's what my heart has turned to. So sometimes in those things, I guess different situations will call you to long for, or, you know, yearn for different things, you know. So thirst for different things, that's the word we're using. But certainly peace and wisdom. Yes, thirst for wisdom.
I think one of the things that, you know, I don't say maybe it's dried up, but, you know, my light used to shine brighter. And sometimes, you know, I feel like sometimes it's not as bright as it used to. Mm-hmm. And that's why I said, you know, just thirst
for refreshing.
Refreshing and just more often because for me, my greatest pleasure of serving Him is to gather souls for Him.
Yeah.
And I used to do that in just like a blink of an eye, and now it's like pulling teeth, you know, to get somebody to come to church with you and stuff like that. It is so hard, you know. And I feel like sometimes, you know, sometimes I feel like my life need to be fixed for Him.
Yeah.
And have, you know, and get the dry bones out of me.
Yeah.
And put in new bones, you know. Weary night, you know. So I don't have no hot and cold. I'm just fat and fire for Him.
Yeah. I think we all get to that point at different stages, you know, that we just need more. We just want more of God. We need more. You know, like me, I like, you know, Pastor Jeff, I got sort of convicted last week when he was talking about, you know, faith and cancel winter and stuff. And I want to have that kind of faith again. You know, it's a funny thing about when you first get saved. You just on fire. You just got some kind of boldness, craziness, crazy faith about you that you can do. You really believe that you could just do anything through Christ with strength and do.
Yeah.
You know, and that's sort of how we were. Because we had really had just gotten saved like maybe 2 years before that. Maybe if it was that long. But, and then we, you know. So when he said that, I was like, yes, Lord, I want to be able to do that again. I want to say, really say this and mean it, you know? without any doubt whatsoever. I want to get to that point. So that's why I say I pray for a refreshing, and I am thirsty for that. I want that back. I want to have that faith like that.
Yes. You know?
But I think we all get like that. We just have like something knocks us, and then we go, yes, Brother James.
I believe that, you know, even though you fed, you know, you come to church and then, you know, you can hear the word of God, but I think, you know, maybe why we are so locked of certain stuff is because, you know, we're not eating up on the word of God as how we used to.
Yeah.
Eat up on it. We used to live in the world that you can. Somebody asks you a question, you don't even remember the question went out, but you're reading in my Bible verse on that.
Yeah.
Again, you know, and you could have just recite any Bible verse because you studied so much, you know.
Right.
And you find yourself now just so locked of a lot of
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah.
You're not doing as much. You know, you still do it, but you're not. You know, so faithful doing it.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's one of the things that we have to, because life, it take away so much.
Yes, it does.
Because mm-hmm. what it does, because you get up in the morning, and you don't have no
yeah.
time to focus and, you know, listen to what God. We don't have no time
yeah, so
to do
busy.
That.
So,
but we're just so
busy.
Mm-hmm. And we're just so relaxed. And, you know, and then time catch up so fast.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
your soul is like melting away. And you don't even know what to do about it.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Brother James.
I was saying, you know, in reference to the fountain, the little water, I found this two scriptures right here. Say Isaiah 44. Verse 3.
Mm-hmm.
It says, "For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and flood upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thy offspring."
Mm-hmm.
And also, in Isaiah. In Jeremiah. Chapter 2,
mm-hmm.
Verse 13, it said, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out curtains, broken curtains that can hold no water." So like you say, you know, as Christ saying, he still is our provider, is our sustainer. Because,
yes.
you know, that's why I say, in the summertime when you're thirsty, don't drink, you know, like soda, because you still be thirsty.
Right.
You drink water, because that will sustain you and maintain you. Mm-hmm. And that's what Jesus is saying as well.
Yes.
Yeah, he's the living fountain of living water.
Yeah, and I guess we do get thirsty, and we might find ourselves thirsty when we look to other things.
Other things, exactly.
To try to meet that need mm-hmm. that we have. Because nobody can meet that need like Jesus.
Exactly.
And I think we have to get that. And what Christine was talking about, and sometimes we turn away and we don't take up the word like we used to. We don't read it like we used to. You know, I just thought about something as she said that.
And it's that sometimes we, you know, even if we develop appetites, and the less you eat, the less you want to eat.
Mm-hmm.
So as if you find yourself and you want more, you have to eat more in order to sustain yourself. You know, because What held you, you know, some time ago, you know, a little plate of food, maybe a spoon of rice and a spoon of, you know, a piece of meat, maybe that held you at some point. But now, that's like the word. Maybe you could just read a scripture, a verse, psalm, one of the psalms, you know, just a verse. But now you need more of that. You know, as you begin to take more, you're going to need more. So when we find that we're like off kilter, it's because we're not getting enough, you know. The word is our life. It's nourishment, you know. So just wanted to share that too about the thirst. Anyway, okay, verse 10. Almost have time here. How do we achieve victory in order to inherit this brand new creation? And that's in verse 7. "He that overcometh shall inherit all things. and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. So what is God saying? What is he saying in this? How do we achieve victory in order to inherit this brand new creation? How do we do it? Anybody? Believe. He that overcometh, what is that? Overcomer is a what? A believer. You overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony, which you only give if you believe in Jesus. Amen? So when we believe, we overcome, we inherit these things that God says is going to happen. Amen? So we believe, we overcome, we finish the fight that we started, that God started. You know, what Timothy said, I don't know where it is. I have fought the good fight of faith. Mm-hmm. I have finished the race. That's when we inherit the promise, when we finish the race. We can't give up in the middle of it, because then we won't inherit. You know, so.
So how do we achieve it?
You continue to believe. Things come your way, you continue to believe. You stay. Yes.
Who called that scripture?
Who called it scripture?
I
didn't hear you right now.
Who called the scripture? I finished the fight. I fought the fight.
Oh, First Timothy. I think that's First Timothy.
Paul said it first, right?
Yeah.
Paul said first?
Paul said it first, because Timothy was Paul's disciple. He was the follower of
Paul. Paul said that right before.
I have to find that one. I'm going to go home and look that up. Be like the Bereans, go home and study the scripture.
Yes. Yeah, we're talking about fighting for the faith, just like when the promise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God, when he said, Abraham, I'll make my covenant with you. He made, you know, he said, this is a sign. You know, the animals. But the vultures came trying to take it away. You had to fight for it.
Yes.
That's one thing we were saying. Say, so how are you going to come? You know, God's going to give it to you. But Satan is, what do the enemy come to do? Steal, kill, destroy. He's going to try to steal it. He's trying to steal our faith. So that's why, you know, like Christine said, that we get distracted, you know, by our routine and stuff like that, and we feel ourselves not as zealous for the mm-hmm. Lord as we used to in the beginning, because, yeah, you know, that crazy faith.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. things happen, and, oh, you know, we're not...
We get tired.
We get tired, this and that, but that's the enemy trying to steal our faith of maybe God's not doing it as quickly for me like he used to.
Yeah.
And, but let's say, said all night, Abraham was fighting off the vultures all
that's
night,
right.
And that's what we had to do, because sometimes you know, we don't like always to fight, but that's what God calls to be warriors, to be overcomers, is to overcome something, so we have to fight.
And that's how we inherit the promises. Mm-hmm. Listen, the whole book of Hebrews talks about, you know, the hall of faith, because they overcame, they kept believing, and that's what we have to do. We have to just keep believing. Like Paul and Timothy said, you know, it was First Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. That's what I was thinking of, but I'm going to find Paul's too. But it says, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. So just, that's not exactly the other one I was talking about, but that's one of them.
Both of them go hand in hand? Because then I'm thinking, like I was trying to put it, which one goes first and which one goes second, but I don't think you could do that, because if you don't believe, then you won't fight.
True.
You understand what I'm
saying?
Then I was trying to say, okay, you have to fight. But how will you fight if you don't believe? So it needs to go together, right?
They have to go. And you know what?
Yeah.
God is a God of war.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he is.
So what did that say? Fight.
Right.
Yeah. Fight. When the children of Israel, they wanted to possess the land, they had to fight.
Right.
Even though that God said, this land is yours, they had to fight to get it.
Yeah.
You know, so part of our faith mm-hmm. is fighting.
What happened the first time when they didn't want to fight? What did God make them do? They had to wander in the wilderness for 40 right. years. Until they was there, the children would say, okay, we're going to fight. He said, okay, you're going to die because you didn't want to fight, but they're going to fight, so you come
yes,
in.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
So what was that? That was because what? They didn't believe? Is that what it was?
They didn't believe the promises. That's why they end up in the wilderness.
They want to turn back.
Yeah.
That's right.
They want to go back to those leeks and onions.
But they wanted to go back to the leeks and onions, but they forgot about the whips and everything else that goes with
it. Yeah, they forgot the other part.
They forgot about God and divide the Red Sea.
Exactly.
That's not like us, though. Don't we forget some things? Yeah. Oh, yeah. We go back. We say, oh, but it was okay over there. no, it wasn't. Which is why you asked for deliverance. we do that, too. We do that, too. But we have to fight. We have to believe. We have to overcome. We have to remain faithful. We have to endure to the end. Because when we endure to the end, we obtain the crown. Amen. Mm-hmm. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, and let's read it to you. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearance. And that's just right there. Look at me, I'm so silly. Verse 7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Duh. Okay, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Brother Mario. Okay. Anyway, question 11. Why will some people be kept out of the new creation? Verse 8.
Hey, we already answered
that. Oh, yes, we did, because they don't believe, right? All those people... The fearful, the unbelievable, all them people doing these abominations and all them. All of them, they can't. They'll be kept out of it.
Ask a question. What's an idol?
Idolatry. Like idolatry, like you follow after other gods.
Oh, okay.
Worship other gods. Form your own god. That's what that is. So it's a idol worship. So none of those things, none of those people are going to inherit the promise of God. And you remember all the list that I think we went down recently in Galatians, where it talked about all these people that don't inherit the kingdom. They're not going to be a part of the Galatians. Okay, I don't know where it is. Anyway.
They shall not, and you know. So
but it had all these people. It had liars and the fornicators and all these. That's what God's talking about.
First Corinthians. I got homework tonight.
But the unbelievers, those people who refuse to obey the word of the Lord, those people, their name is not written in the book of life. We read that first Revelation 20. Verse 15, you know, you're not written in this book of life. You never accepted Jesus, you know. You're not going to inherit the promises.
Compared to what people say today, where they everything is inclusive. Oh, you know, God going to accept me no matter what I do and how I say and how I do it. And I'm like, really? And I say, yeah, you contradicting the Bible. The Bible doesn't say that.
No, it doesn't say that. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through 11. That's what it was. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. There you have it.
You said first of the, what was that?
First Corinthians chapter 6, verse 10 and 11.
I don't know all that means. Can you break some of those down?
Sure. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. We never see. Now the fornicators, those who sleep around, outside of marriage. Idolaters, idol worship, those who worship other gods, set up their own gods. Sometimes money is a god. You know, people set their own people as God. No adulterers, those who commit, you know, those marriage sins. Effeminate, those people that are
gay.
I don't want to use that word, but those people who are act like they're feminine, but they're not. So that no abuses of themselves with mankind. That's homosexuality and perverts. You know, those sexual sins, the abuses of yourself with mankind. You know, this is the temple of the Holy Ghost. You're abusing yourself with mankind. No matter what you're doing, even women sleeping with women, those kind of things, those sexual sins. Thieves, covetous, those things that you want something so badly that God said, do not covet. Like, you don't want to take somebody else's wife, or you don't want to take what doesn't belong to you. That's coveting. If you have a thirst for, a lust for something like that, that's coveting. Drunkards, alcohol, no revilers. Revilers are like troublemakers, you know, like reckless. People who just, yeah, they're reckless. They just look for trouble. They just want to start trouble, and they just have that, what's the word? I'm looking for a kind of spirit, but rebellious spirit, I'm trying to. No extortioners. Those are like people who try to, like, robbery with money and things like that.
Oh, dirty machine.
Excuse me?
People who are dirty machine.
Yes, yes. So there you have it. So all those people, they're in the kingdom of God. Amen. Only the righteous. Amen. And people don't want to hear it, but it's an exclusive club.
If those people change from their wicked ways,
exactly. And just like I said, he's going to look for your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. If you decide, you know, like this, and I'm going to change, I'm going to accept Jesus, okay, your name is written in the Book of Life. Doesn't matter. You do it the last minute, your name is written there, and you'll inherit the kingdom.
Yeah, or it's like, for example, we could say, you know, you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but you're still doing the wicked way. You understand what I'm saying? You still haven't changed. You're still lying. You're still,
you're
still cheating. You're still doing fornication, adultery. Then what do you expect? Yeah. You're going to go to heaven?
Right. It's, and God knows that too, because, you know, when we accept Jesus, because people try to use that as an excuse, you know, that I'm a Christian because I accepted Jesus. A lot, I believe a lot of people say, Jesus is my Lord, you know, or Jesus is my Savior. I don't say that. They won't say Jesus is my Lord. They'll say Jesus is my Savior. Jesus saved me. But it's not until you turn from those wicked ways that you're saved. You know, you can confess salvation because, you know, that's what God said. Confess with your mouth, believe in your heart. But when we really believe something, we act on it. And that's the difference.
And guess what? I'm gonna just be directly straight with this. And this, okay, a lot of these things that we just said right now, it happened to us, you know. But what did we say on Sunday? You make your choice.
Yes.
You know
exactly
what I mean?
Because
the devil's gonna come and tell you, "Oh, that man is so hot." I'm just being out there straight up.
Yeah.
But you, as a Christian, and you as a newborn,
you make a decision.
You make a decision. Are you gonna go after that, or
you're going to obey what God tells you in the Bible. We get tempted too. We do. You know what I mean? Well, you're going to do is your choice. Every day we're faced with temptations, and we have to make decisions to go the right way. It's a matter of, we have to live out the word. God's word is true. We confess Jesus, we say, come into my heart. And we allow him to change us, as, you know, Pastor Jeff been preaching, we allow him to change us, and then we walk in those changes. We don't continue to, all things are passed away. You become a new creature.
It was a new creature.
Yes.
Is it now saying, I will continue to go to the club, I will continue to get...
And it's a practice. You have to do it.
Exactly.
You have to practice doing it. But if you don't, then you're going to stay exactly where you are.
That's some people think that, you know, oh, I'm a Christian, I go get dressed up from church every Sunday or every other Sunday.
Those
that's
not to do with
exactly.
We're talking about outfits.
Exactly, exactly. that's what I'm saying. But, you know, that's why I talk to some people, that's what they have in their mind. They say, if I just do this, do that, you know, they think I'm good, I'll get over. But that's not the word of God.
No.
God, the word of God is that he said, look on the inside, we have to change.
Yes.
You know.
Right, we don't earn our salvation by anything that we've done.
Yeah.
It's all about what Jesus did.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
So,
and if you believe it, you're going to try to follow
exactly
what he said.
He did. Right. So. And it's those who practice these. I mean, God knows that we mess up. You know, we mess up. God,
know
Jesus died to cover us when we mess up.
Well, yeah.
But you can't constantly mess up. Mm-hmm. When you constantly mess up, you're practicing.
You're making a choice. When you constantly mess up,
so the Bible says that, yes. It's those who practice these things do not inherit the kingdom of God. So you keep doing it, that's a practice. You know, like doctors practice what they do. You practice that too, you know. You can practice these things. But anyway, question 12, we got close, okay. How might this vision of a death-free future where all creation is healed from its hurts and made beautiful and new shape the way you live today? Well, and it's all about the resurrection, yes?
Well, you said all creations.
Yes.
So I thought about the fish in the water. So I guess they'll swim through the air because they won't have no seas.
That's right.
They still be there.
Yeah, that's why I said because some fish are really beautiful. Like, you know, you get rid of the fish.
Yeah, they just swim through the air.
Yeah, you just make a way for them to live without the sea, you know? But what you think about all these things, how does that give you, how does that make you feel for the future or how you should live for today?
It gives me hope.
Yes, it gives you hope. Encourages you. Gives you comfort. Gives me comfort. You know, that knowing that, but I don't know what the scripture is. Praise the Lord. The sufferings of this time, they're going to pale in comparison to what, you know, what it's going to be like with Jesus. You know, it's just, so it is. It's comforting and it's encouraging that, you know, all this is ahead of us. It's still to come. And that's a great thing. Amen?
Amen.
So God makes all things new. Amen?
Amen.
Give thanks to God that death's days are numbered.
Yes.
Marvel before him all at the great work of resurrection and transformation that he has already begun in Jesus Christ and will one day carry to completion. Pray that you will learn to live each day as a new creature, as one who reflects the beauty of the world to come right in the midst of the present time. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let us close. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we bless you. Oh God, once again, oh God, we just thank you, God, for your goodness, God, towards us, oh God. We thank you for your grace, oh God. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your peace, oh God. We thank you for your word, oh God. We thank you, God, for resurrection, oh God. We thank you that Jesus died for us, oh God, and he's up in heaven and he's making mansions for us, oh God, preparing places for us, oh God. We thank you for the vision that you've given us, oh God, the hope that you filled us with tonight with your word, oh God, that better days are ahead for us, oh God. We just bless you, and we thank you, oh God, for the truth of your word, oh God. We thank you, God, that you're just so real to us, oh God, and Father, that you just perfect everything that concerns us, oh God. We're just so thankful to you for that, oh God. We just can't thank you enough, oh God. We just say hallelujah to you, God, because you're worthy of it, oh God. We just bless your name for this word tonight, oh God. And Father God, we just pray, oh God, that you would just continue to speak, oh God. Father, that you would continue to share yourself with us, oh God. Father, that you would help us to walk out your word, those things that we learned of you, oh God, that we would walk it out, oh God. And Father, we would even be able to pass on to someone else, oh Father, in the name of Jesus, oh God. And Father God, we even pray that you would just light another fire inside of our hearts, oh God. Just continue to let it burn, oh God. Help our lights to shine, oh God, brighter for you, oh Father, in the name of Jesus, that somebody else might be touched by it, oh God. And Father, we just bless you and we thank you for your faithfulness to do it, oh God. We thank you, God, that your word is faithful and your word is true, oh God, because you are, oh God. And we thank you, God, for heaven. We thank you for newness, oh God. We thank you, God, for changing us, oh God. We just thank you, God, just for who you are, oh Father God. And Father, we just pray, oh God, as we leave this place tonight, that you will go before us, oh God, that you will lead us in the dark places, oh God, in the name of Jesus, oh God. Father God, that you would meet us as we enter into our homes tonight, oh God, in the name of Jesus, that you would just continue to speak and pour out your spirit upon us, oh God, in the name of Jesus, reveal yourself, bring scriptures to our remembrance, oh God, and help us just to continue to meditate on your word, oh Father God. And Father, we just bless you, and we thank you, God. And Father, we can pray now for our pastor, oh God, that as he makes his way back tomorrow, oh God, that you will keep him safe over the airways, oh Father, in the name of Jesus, oh God. And Father God, we just thank you, oh God, for the success of his trip, oh Father. And we just give you all praise, all honor, all glory right now, oh God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.